Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Hey there, foodies, and welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, this is your host, your chef de cinema cuisine, Kyle Reinfried. What's going on? What's happening? How are you? How you foodies doing? We are, what, a week and a half into the established, or at least, you know, by in New York, New Jersey, in the United States, our self, you know, quarantining, our social distancing. How you guys doing with it? You know, I'm having a little bit of a rough, well, you know, perspective. I'm fine. I'm healthy so far. Everyone I know is fine and healthy. Am I getting a little, it's not even stir crazy. I'm still, you know, I'm going out for walks, keeping a safe distance. I'm cooking up a storm. I was eating a lot. I'm trying to get a little better now and just really recognize, you know, not snacking or not cooking too much food when I'm cooking. But it really just comes down to just like a little feeling of like self-worth or lack thereof, which I'm sure a lot of people are going through because I don't have much work right now. But that's what's great about this podcast. I'm here, talking to you guys, and I hope you're enjoying it. Maybe you can bring a little levity in these tough times, in these just very, yeah, you know, never experienced anything like this before, so I guess we're lucky in that sense. But this is, you know what, we're getting back to basics on this one, guys. It's called Foodie Films. It started out as a podcast just talking food-centric movies, and this is one of the most centric ones you could ever talk about. It's on the list of like those top five foodie films, and that's Big Night. And so a big foodie film, one of the best foodie films, I gotta have one of my best friends on, and that's Brian Rodriguez, my co-host and partner of P.S. I Love Hoffman and the host of High School Slumber Party. You should know his name via this podcast. He's been a guest numerous times. And it's just a delight talking this movie. I hadn't watched it in a while, and this is just a movie about passionate people, creative people, and I think it's just something that we can all enjoy right now. And it's, we say it on here, but I'll say it again right now, so if you want to pause this, go watch it and then listen to the episode. It's on Amazon Prime if you got Amazon Prime, so nice easy way to watch it. So without further ado, here I am talking with one of my best friends, one of the best foodie films, Big Night. Here we go. Bon appetit. Or manja. All right, Brian, welcome back to Foodie Films. It's welcome to the new year, this great year of 2020.
Woo, best year ever.
Oh, we have to laugh a little bit, right? Can we still
laugh? Of course. Without levity, there's no life.
Oh man, this is just you know, we're not gonna ponder on it too much, but just obviously a lot has happened in the past. I'll say 2 weeks in America. Like, you know, it's been 2 weeks since like all the, you know, NBA and MLB and NHL were like, you know, kaput with their seasons or not, or delaying the seasons. And then it's been over a week now of quarantining. How are you coming along with all this?
I'm okay. You know, obviously, as you know, I had to fly back for my honeymoon. That wasn't fun, but the important thing is that I'm healthy, I'm safe. Some people have certainly been affected. Obviously, I'm very close to the medical community as well, but I have to say I'm excited to be here. It's been a while since I've been on Foodie Films, and I've been eating a lot of food and not doing a lot of working out, so food's been my life.
As has everyone, I think. The first like handful of days during quarantine, I was just cooking and eating way too much. has there been any go-to dishes for you, or I mean, have you ordered out as well, or anything like that?
We ordered out once, but we're trying to avoid that. Not because of, you know, we want to support local businesses, but there's also obviously a concern with safety and health. And I don't know, it gave us an opportunity to cook because we don't usually cook a lot. You know, me and my wife, very busy. So now there's kind of the opportunity to do that. And we stocked up with all this food from the soup. We're not hoarding food or anything, but, you know, we have a good amount of canned goods and that kind of food. But, you know, when you start this, you're exactly right. It's not about, like, let me just eat to eat. You're like, hey, let me make a meal, you know? So it's been a lot of, like,
everything becomes a meal, not just, like, a simple thing to eat, a meal.
Look, especially coming off our aborted honeymoon, where we're eating out breakfast, lunch, and dinner, having a great time, you know, having some really good food. From the little we went to South Africa, the cuisine was amazing. The wine country, oh my god,
better than that's, I didn't know that they had like a wine country going.
Oh my
there.
God, that wine country again makes Napa look like Long Island, and I love Long Island, but you know what I mean, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so beautiful, and it was so, we're literally like at one vineyard sitting on top of a mountain, essentially overlooking the ocean and just like the plains, and it was just so beautiful, and the wine was so good. And that's where we learned that we had to return. So imagine being in like paradise.
Yeah.
Sipping on wine, and compared to here in the US, it was so cheap. So cheap. And
we were having
amazing.
Great times. Obviously, you know already that I was very sad to hear that you guys had to come back, and it was just a whole. I mean, now I think pretty much it's been declared like get back to your country, right? Like officially.
Yeah, we went a little bit before that, but glad we did because a lot of the flights have been canceled. You know, at the time you feel sour about it, but better safe than sorry, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll make it back there. Maybe I'll even I'll join you and crash your second honeymoon. Yeah,
you're more than welcome. We said, hey, we did the alone thing. That like if anyone who wants to come for the second half, be my guest. That goes out to the foodie. What do you call them? The foodie fans.
I don't know. The foodie fans. The foodies. It should just be the foodies.
The foodies. Yeah. If you want to join me and my wife on my honeymoon, you are welcome. Oh, but we were saying, you know, cooking at home and such. Like everything has been a meal. I've never seen my wife cook this much. I don't think I've cooked this much. I feel like I'm 1,000 pounds, and that's terrible. I get it, like because you know it seems like we're like hoarding food here, but just we're settling into our being at home and cooking zone.
Just this new routine, right?
Also, like, we have all these appliances from like as wedding gifts, so using that air fryer a lot. Tell you that much.
Oh, I love a good air fryer. I love broccoli in the air fryer. It's my favorite.
Good. But this morning,
healthy option.
It's true. This morning, I made a traditional Dominican breakfast.
Ooh, the thick cut salami.
Yeah, I cut it thinner. I cut it a little thinner because, as you pointed out, as many people pointed out, I'm known for cutting the meat too thick.
Well, that's fine if you're making that cuisine because that's how they do it.
Yeah, because you're frying
it. If you're making a charcuterie plate, that's a little different. But
you don't want it to shrivel off in the frying pan.
That's true. That's true. Exactly. You want, it's going to be losing all that fat and you wanted to go shriveling away. I've been cooking a lot too. Like I've been doing a lot of trying to. I don't eat a lot of rice, but then that being something that's in my like I always have it, but I never ate a lot of it. But I've been trying to like do a lot of stuff with rice dishes, so I'm not splurging on crazy amounts of food at the supermarkets or hoarding myself. But I've been getting into coconut rice, making some. I have like this yellow curry rub that I've been putting on chicken and fish and stuff like that. I picked up a bunch of oh God, what kind of fish? Some kind of white fish. Tilapia. That's what I picked up, a bunch of tilapia. Yeah, and then I made the mistake of buying not like the cream-filled ones, but those little Cadbury eggs. You know which ones I'm talking about, like the colorful outsides. Yeah, and I bought a bag of those last week, and I've already gone through those. That was a mistake. It's just like I can't. I don't know how people that work from home do it. Kudos to you guys. I do not have. I don't know if I'd have the self-control. I mean, obviously you're working. Like right now, I'm not really working much. I'm trying to find creative. That's thank God for this podcast and another outlet. But yeah.
That's kind of the problem with working at home, right? Like during this period is like you can't operate business as usual. There are some businesses, yeah, that are still doing well and making a killing, but you've highlighted through your social media a lot of the businesses that aren't, specifically restaurants and such. And I know even some restaurant personnel, like from the business end, are working from home, but it's posting on Facebook. It's trying to keep alive and keep awareness. Some of the work from home is just to do something for lack of a
Yeah.
better word. So these are tough times.
Definitely. Like, I mean, a lot of people, just talking to people, you just that self-worth, and you can't forget that, that this is just, I mean, such an odd circumstance that people are going through. So it's like, I mean, I've never been laid off per se. I mean, I've never had a typical job as like freelancing and stuff like that. So, I mean, but I definitely have had moments of depression that I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, what do I, like I need to just be doing something. And that's what, I mean, a lot of people I think are going through right now. And yeah, these people that work in the service industry, a few of them maybe can still work in the restaurant, but any of the servers, like, maybe one or two could stay on to help like bag up the items if people are, for pickup or delivery. But just tough times in a lot of places. I feel bad. Like I want to help, but then also I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm taking advantage of them right now. But this Ani Ramen, this it's I mean it's a it's not a chain. They have a couple locations, and there is one in Jersey City, and they still have. So you guys, if you're nearby and you want to support, they have they match whatever you buy. So I purchased a $50 gift card that is worth $100. Yeah.
That's
So I
cool.
mean, yeah. So I'm definitely gonna, and they're, I mean, they're still doing. They don't do. They've never done delivery, so it's still. You go there and you can pick it up, so I'll definitely pick up some ramen. But then, I mean, if I purchase more, I mean, definitely something I can use, the gift card after this is all said and done. But just, yeah, a lot of restaurants, a lot of, chefs. I know a lot of chefs that just started. I recorded with Chef Claude Lewis. That episode will come out in April sometime, and he started his new restaurant, Freetown Road Project, back in late December. So that's, it's tough. There's a lot of restaurants that just opened up that, they still needed that. They don't have that word of mouth that, you're usually used to in the first couple of months. So hopefully the government can actually step in and do the right thing. And I know I posted this too, but you can contact, your local politicians and try to get them to vote and, get them to do the right thing to help just not just service industry people, but obviously a lot of individuals out there that need financial support and just all different kinds of support right now.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be a whole new world when this is over. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully all businesses can succeed as is, but you hit pause on what was a booming economy, and whew, it's going to be interesting.
yeah and I just want to I mean not to make lighter things, or obviously there's plenty of other things that I want to happen again, and just obviously everything get better for individuals. I want to travel again. I want to sit down. I want to have meals with people. Just, I think a lot of things hopefully are going to be put into perspective for people. I'm just really curious, you know, to see if, you know, just like how families even kind of maybe will end up eating together again. Not that, you know, I know there's obviously that changed over the years. Even when we were younger, you just see, you know, kids and activities between sports and stuff like that, and just like, you know, the easiness of fast food. So I'm just curious if people will actually, you know, like what will stay and what will change from people's routines from this world event.
Yeah, I mean, we've become such a social people. That's a good thing, you know. It's just to just change everyone's life like this. I feel bad. Obviously, feel bad for everyone hurt and sick and affected and working hard and all that jazz. But just, I wonder what it's going to even be like in 2 weeks, just being in quarantine, you know? Just,
yeah.
Not, like you said, traveling or going out there. And you and I are both lucky enough to have the opportunity to travel. And like you said, it really puts things in perspective and it really makes you appreciate that.
Definitely. I mean, just from... obviously my love of New Orleans, and I follow so many individuals and restaurants on social media, and just seeing that city, I mean, that is a tourist city, you know, that's just constant. I mean, it's got to be odd, obviously, to walk through New York as well. I haven't been in the city since this all began, but yeah, just seeing how many people and just all the musicians down there, and but they're coming online, and they're at least, I mean, maybe they're not making money, but they're using social media to give free performances. I know there's obviously like John Legend did it too, but these are the musicians that don't have millions of dollars to, you know, in their bank account, that they don't have to worry. But I did see someone post recently. It's like, wow, it's nice to see people using social media to like truly socialize again. That's kind of
that's true. Maybe it's keeping us from like a Lord of the Flies situation.
Exactly. I was trying to think. I was saying to Danielle, I said like, oh, maybe I'm like, can we have, like, if it's a nice day, like I've got the backyard, can we have people over and it's a potluck, but you only eat what you brought, and we can sit 6 feet away? Like, can we do this somehow? Is this is that irresponsible? Like, you know, if it continues, we had a couple of nice days in a row, and I went out for a walk. I went to Liberty State Park, and we were walking side by side, but I think people were being responsible. It's just definitely, it's going to be interesting even once they're...
Well, yeah, that's going to end. That's going to end soon. Places, people are restricting that. That's probably one of the biggest issues now, the too many people in parks. And
yeah,
that won't exist tomorrow. I mean, that won't exist next week. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, I mean, when you're passing by and you're seeing people playing like sports, you know, playing like, you know, basketball or something like that, that shouldn't be happening. But I mean, yeah, whatever ends this... sooner than later. Well, I think that's enough of the kind of sad stuff, right? It's interesting. I love the movie that we'll be discussing. I know you do too. It's a big one, no pun intended. And I'm like, you know, when I watched it, I'm like, it's not a sad movie. It's not a depressing movie. I'm like, oh, maybe like Ratatouille would have been better during these times, but no, I am excited to talk this movie. It is recognized as one of the best when it comes to films about food. So we're going to talk Big Night. I almost said The Big Night, but it's just Big Night.
I'm always tempted to say The Big Night, and it's not unrelated to what you were saying. This is a restaurant who somewhat just opened, and it doesn't really have the word of mouth or foot traffic yet, not because of coronavirus or anything like that, just because, well, for reasons we'll probably discuss.
Yes. So Big Night came out in 1996. It's directed by like a co-direction, but then also I'm curious, I'm gonna see if you know anything about this. It says on IMDb, directed by Campbell Scott and Stanley Tucci, and this is written by Stanley Tucci and Joseph Tropiano. But then I read in IMDb trivia that it was co-directed and co-written by Stanley Tucci's sister. And I couldn't find anything else on that, but that was like a trivia thing in IMDb.
Huh, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that. I know she's credited in here. So
Actually,
it's
yeah, you know what would have been a good thing? If I paid attention to the credits at the end of the film,
No, it didn't say
that's
her name.
actually
It said that
okay.
director's name that you said.
Yeah, who is the he is the Cadillac salesman.
Oh,
If
okay.
you want to put a face to the name. That is
And Stanley Tucci's sister is in the movie as well. It said singer. I don't remember when there was a singer, but
There's a singer in the what is his name? I wrote it down. Pascal's Restaurant.
oh, okay. Yeah, you're
Yeah.
right.
So okay, so that's good to know. So I don't know where that IMDb trivia came from, but obviously the you have to go by the credits at the end of the movie, and yeah, okay. I mean, I would have seen her name next to the direction and written by if that was obviously part of the credits, because supposedly Stanley Tucci really wanted to help co-write this because he wanted a decent sized part for himself, so can't blame him on that.
Yeah, this is 96, he's not really a name at this point.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, with Stanley Tucci, you own his cookbooks, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, when I first moved out, I bought his two cookbooks and they really helped me along, and it kind of inspired me to, want to see this film because it's one of these cookbooks where, and if you don't have it, I definitely suggest buying it, both of them. It's one of these cookbooks where it tells like a little bit of a story before it. And in it a lot, he mentions Tony Shalhoub being like his best friend and things they would cook together and recipes for that.
Oh, that's
And
nice.
in the cookbook, there's a recipe for the frittata from the scene I'm sure we'll talk about later. But he describes that and describes having to make that on camera. And it's an awesome book. So this is a guy who, Kyle, if I could say like a list of foodie actors, he's on the top of the list. He loves his wine. He loves his food. He's got a lot of like celebrity friends that it seems like he invites over for meals. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, he is truly I it's not the exact same question. Actually, I know this is a question that existed on at one point when using whatever, I forget what online dating app I was using at the time or whatever, but I think one of it was like dream dinner guests. Like he's definitely, and I know that's a question I asked when you were on the second time for my dinner with Hervé, and I know I've asked Michael Manzi that, any person that's been on for a second, like solo episode, but like dream dinner, it wasn't just guests, but it was like multiple people, like a dream dinner party. And so as far as celebrity goes, yeah, he would be, I would love to have him. That would be
Oh
a dream
yeah,
come
just
true.
the conversation, just he's just amazing. I'm a
Yeah,
big
and
Stanley Tucci guy, as you know, so it just, this movie was a pleasure.
yeah, and I wrote down, so Oliver Platt was actually a producer on this film, and I think of him. I mean, the to me the end all be all like food film chef, he is in that. I know Oliver Platt drew inspiration from that because of that character. His brother is a food critic, and I know that he and Stanley Tucci are friends, and there's even going to be another kind of for the food scene we're going to discuss, the separate food scene from a non-foodie movie, that there's a connection there too. But just like that, I just imagine like hanging out with Stanley Tucci and Oliver Platt, like that's a great combo. Like I want to go on a road trip with them, like a food, based road trip.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a cool set, right? Like, I don't know, the people that they hang out, like Hank Azaria too, like oh my God.
Just a great, yeah, that's just a great crowd of people. But yeah, so I mean, when did you first see this movie?
When did I first see this movie? Honestly, I'm not even sure. Probably when I got the cookbooks.
Okay.
But I wasn't paying attention to it the way I was paying attention to it this time. It was more like enjoying it and on in the background. I kind of waited until you covered it, and I was very happy when you asked me to be on. So it's been a while.
Yeah, this was a movie, you know, when I said I'm going to do a podcast called Foodie Films, you were like, I really want to be on that episode. Like, you gave me certain movies, and then this is one of them. So I'm happy that we're finally getting to it. And like I said, it's a big one in the food film community. So really excited to talk about it. I first saw this probably, I feel like this is one of those movies that was on like basic cable a lot. So I probably saw maybe like, I can't imagine how much would have been edited out of this. This is, to me, this is like a perfect length movie. It's like 150 minutes or so, and it's got a really good pace to it. And yeah, it's just a movie that I remember seeing also the cover for it a lot in like in Blockbuster or any like video rental stores. And I know it had the timpano, is that how you pronounce it, right? The big dish that they're cooking. And I always thought as a kid, it just, I think because I knew of like Stanley Tucci is more of a comedic, like slapstick kind of actor, I guess just from like random kids movies I saw him in, like Beethoven or something.
Oh, I was gonna say, is he?
Yeah. But I just even thought, like, I thought that dish was, like, comically, like, the perspective that they have it, because it's that upward angle, it looks, like, comically large. Like, I thought it was, like, a slapsticky kind of movie, and I remember then catching it, like, I didn't rent it, but, like, watching it on TV and being like, oh, and kind of being bored when I was a kid. But then definitely revisiting it, I think then, like, you know, one time when it was probably on, I think before Netflix days, probably on like HBO or something like that, watching it. And
yeah, I don't recall this ever being on like basic cable, but I'm pretty sure it was on like a Showtime or something, you know, a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I thought for some reason it was,
I mean,
like,
it could have been
a Saturday afternoon movie on like
I'm not dismissing it, but this feels so much up the alley of like not the first HBO, but like HBO 3. I know it's not called that, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like HBO Zone.
Yeah, whatever those things are.
Like, yeah.
HBO Latino. No, I'm kidding. Well, Mark Anthony's in this, but
Mark Anthony is in this. And can I ask you? Forgive me if I don't know. Has your cousin Pumpkin been on a High School Slumber Party?
No, he has not.
Okay, but he kind of looks like Mark Anthony.
We used to say that when my cousin Michael Conrad, who you also met when he was skinnier, he looked like him. So I could see that.
Oh, yeah, okay, I could see that too. Yeah, yeah. That's the one thing I took away, not the one thing, one of the things I took away is just, like, in the few shots of just people standing next to one another, Mark Anthony looks pretty tiny. He is.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk Mark Anthony now, let's do it.
Sure, yeah, why not?
It's really funny because he doesn't act it in a lot of things, right?
No.
But he has this year or three film stretch that now I believe, if you know, all the commitments are in line, I'll cover all three of the films that he was in this period. So he was in Hackers. He plays like a like an FBI agent, like not like a main one or anything. He's in this movie, and then he's also in a film that you just loosely committed to for my podcast, The Substitute, as apparently the main antagonist. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
wow. But we'll see.
How is he in Hackers?
He has just like a couple lines. He seems to be like the one who gets the kids a little bit more, you know? Like the boss is the boss FBI agent's like, "Let's get him." And, you know, I don't know. He has such a unique look that I know why he was getting cast at this point. I'm not saying he's not talented, but obviously we certainly know him as a singer. And I would even think he had broken through in, like, Latin music at this time, but I don't think he was really popular in, like, American mainstream music at this time. Like,
no, I think that's more around, like, 99, 2000, right?
Yeah,
like,
right? So I was surprised to see him in all these films around, like, you know, 94, 95, 96, But again, I just think he was going out for these roles, and he has such a unique look that he does add to the composition of a film, if that makes sense.
Was he with Jennifer Lopez at the time?
No.
That's pre, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to think, because her film career was kind of beginning around then, too.
Yeah.
So I was, curious if it was some kind of, competitive, or, not, lack there a better word, just oh, you're doing that? Maybe I should go that route as well.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they knew each other, but again, remember, she dated Ben Affleck, she dated Puff Daddy, she was with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Jenny from the block. I guess a basic premise of this film. So it's two brothers, Italian immigrants. It is a period piece. It takes place during the 50s in New Jersey, although they never say New Jersey in the movie.
They never say New Jersey, but it's written everywhere, and it's supposed to be a shore town. Obviously, they're at the beach at one point.
Yes, actually, a cool thing about that, all of a sudden I realized, I'm watching it, and the wide shots, especially, particularly, it happened earlier, and I'm oh, I'm not going to rewind it, I'll, wait and look up later, but then the shot happens again, it's right before the big night begins, and Mark Anthony steps outside, or should I say, what's it, Cristiano, right? Yeah. And it's a wide shot of the street that their restaurant is on, and I was like, that looks really familiar, and that is in Keyport, New Jersey. And so that's just a cool little beach.
And where town. Is Keyport? You've been there, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Keyport is exit, I mean, it's all, you know, it's off the parkway, and it's exit 115-ish, 116. So it's a little south of Sandy Hook. It's just a nice little town, and they actually have, it's called the Keyport Fishery. It's just, you go in there, it's to go, there's no tables inside, and they just, it's a really good kind of fish shop that you can buy fish to cook yourself, or they'll make, fried fish sandwiches. Really cool place. So I'm just curious if any of those guys, I don't know how many of them were actually in Keyport, if that's just the exterior shots and where the kitchen was and everything like that. But yeah, just kind of cool that they actually shot in New Jersey. Yep. But yeah, so two brothers, Italian immigrants, they come over here. I think they've been here for two years, it sounds like.
Yeah, not long. They still have their accents. They're still very much Italian,
Yes. And so it sounds like Stanley Tucci's character, Segundo, right? So it's Primo and Segundo.
Yeah, Segundo.
Segundo, sorry, yeah.
First and second.
First and second, because Tony Shalhoub was born first, so he's Primo. So when Stanley Tucci is talking about Italy, it seems like he really wanted to get out of there. He was all about this new world, and coming here and starting a restaurant with his brother. And so Tony Shalhoub, Primo, he is the cook, and Stanley Tucci is the manager, maitre d', kind of the host, right? That's for this restaurant.
So I think they both own it, but he runs it,
Yeah, he's the face of the restaurant.
Primo definitely focuses on the cooking. It's his art.
Yeah, it is his everything, It's his life.
Yeah, it's more than about clearly making money for him, even though they need it. It's about the food. It's about the art of the food. This is he almost predates the foodie movement we're in today,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the way this movie begins and their first customers was giving me so much anxiety watching it, and just the woman and not understanding the risotto, and just saying to her husband, I forget what he ordered. He definitely had some I don't know if it was chicken parm.
It was something more quote unquote traditional American Italian. She clearly took a chance on this risotto. But how he keeps asking for the cheese, more cheese.
Yeah, the cheese. Even she comments when it's put down, she's like, oh, you've got leaves on yours. Or it's the basil. It's just and they the way she takes it off, I'm like, oh my God.
This reminded me of a callback to your episode you had with Robbie Feliz when he was saying, when he opened the place in Wayne, and the name's escaping me now, of the place.
Viaggio.
Viaggio, yes.
Yeah.
And how he was saying that people were coming in expecting chicken parm and expecting the traditional things, and it took him a little bit of a while to build a reputation with the more authentic Italian food. So I'm like, wow, this movie is like that.
Yeah, it's you wouldn't... I mean, it, you know, I guess it makes sense if you start, like, thinking about it, but for me, for you, I know we're a bit more adventurous and we're just always looking for, you know, there's certain, like when I go out to eat, I'm going to try to have dishes that I'm not going to cook for myself at home. And so when it comes to kind of those more standard Italian American specifically dishes, like, yeah, I'm not necessarily going to go out and get those at a restaurant. But some people... Just going out to a restaurant means they don't have to cook. It's not as being as, like, I'm doing air quotes, adventurous.
Yeah, of course. A lot of people don't want adventure in their food. They're not going out for adventure in their food. They're going out to eat a good meal. And there is an art to cooking these quote-unquote traditional things well. You know, not just, like, anyone cooking them or...
Yeah, and not like you're just, like, then, like... As if Robbie or anyone or any cook or chef, you know, making an Italian American dish, then they're not like, we'll just go to the Olive Garden then or something. Yeah, they're just saying, you're not going to find that here, though. I'm doing something a little different. So, you know, I guess some consumers should then just look at menus beforehand, you know, that's, I don't know.
That's Italian, you know, like that's what they think when they come in, like it's Italian.
Yeah.
This is what it should be. Oh man. No, but you should look at menus beforehand or you should take chances. I don't know. And we have to remember too, it's 1950. So we're,
yes.
I mean, I assume most people know risotto now. I don't even think 20 years ago most people knew risotto. So you can only imagine 1950.
Exactly. And just the fact, like a seafood risotto isn't going to have huge pieces of, you know, seafood in it. It's more about, like, the broth and the flavoring that comes from that, you know. Like, but, yeah.
And you mentioned something, too, about, like, anxiety. I wrote that down in my notes. Like, this movie gave me... so much anxiety, but in a positive way, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I have to shut this off. Like meet the parents or something. It wasn't like that, but it really put me in the shoes of these guys and I loved it.
Yeah, there's definitely like, it's a great movie because it just really, it puts you in their shoes and you really familiarize like with their, just their relationship and like in general and their working relationship and who's doing what and just their romantic lives and just seeing how different these guys are and how more at first it seems like, you know, Stanley Tucci, just even as the younger brother is kind of guiding, you know, his brother Primo along, because he even accuses him at one point and says, like, you have your head in the pot, like, you know, like, you're just so focused, you have no idea on what else is going on, just in their work realm and how little, like, money they have left, and then obviously with Anne, with Allison Janney's character, the florist, and so it's just, they have a really great on-camera, you know, their chemistry and their relationship is really good. And so I'm curious if they were good friends beforehand. I know you said in the cookbook it mentioned, but
yeah, no, they're best friends. Stanley Tucci made this movie, like, again, I'm not claiming we're as talented or connected as Stanley Tucci, but as if you and I wanted to do a project for each other and it's like, let's cast my talented friends who get my vision. Again, I don't want to make it seem like these people like just got the parts because like you said, this is the actors you're naming are amazing actors.
Yeah.
You know, Minnie Driver, Ian Holm, Isabella Rossellini, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm not saying he was friends with Isabella Rossellini, but I know he certainly had a good relationship with Tony Shalhoub, or at least that's what I remember from the cookbook.
Yeah, and so they came together and they made this, I mean, it's, you know, this great film. Let's see, as far as What did you have any favorite moments from the movie? Like, you know, I mean, like I just it starts off just so strong with that scene, and you just it's just a great movie in the sense of I really think after like each experience, you just learn something more about them, you know?
It's tough to say. Like, just my memory of this movie was not of anything before the quote unquote big night. I had kind of thought that this film was a like a bottle episode, not a bottle episode, but you know what I mean? Like that it was just the night. Like it started with that night and it ended with that night, and we all were like kind of like a death at a funeral kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe not the night, but like just gearing up for it and such. But we do actually get like a decent size like exposition to like set things up, and I'm not complaining about it either. It was just, yeah. I mean, favorite scenes though. It's hard to like separate this into scenes, right? It's more just,
Especially once it gets to the big night, yeah.
yeah. The prep, you know, the prep was beautiful to me. Just explaining things like there's even, you know, I was even remembering this, but like cutting the eggplant where he gets angry at Minnie Driver because she cut it too thick. Just the little disagreements they have on like food theory. I forgot who, but one of them tells him, "Oh, don't chop the garlic too fine. It tastes too garlicky that way." Like
Yeah,
these are
that's
just
right
the
in the
moments.
beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, with between the brothers and Tony Shalhoub saying to Stanley Tucci, you know, or I should say Primo saying to Segundo, like, you know, that yeah, you just like you, too fine, too fine. And yeah, there's just I mean the way that this movie plays out, I think it starts kind of like 2 weeks before the big night. And so the way that we just like see these brothers cooking together and then having, you know, they have this one regular that doesn't have money for food, and I think all of their artwork in this place is probably because of him and this guy that doesn't have money for food, and so he'll, you know, paint on a canvas and just even give them the canvas, not even in a frame. And that's just the warmth that Primo has. He's not he isn't worried about that. He's just like, oh, you're enjoying my meal, and look, I get this beautiful painting out of it. But that we just see those two customers in the beginning, and just they're kind of, you know, they're not necessarily wrong, but just I mean, I love how Segundo says to Primo, like, you want to go talk to him, and just kicks open the kitchen door. He's like, you go talk to him. And I forget what he calls them. I don't think I usually use the word heathen when I get mad, but he says something, and he just get is just like, I don't either, just too, you know, oh, Philistines, I
Yeah,
think he calls them.
Philistines.
And so you just get that, you know, understanding from the right away, and then we meet pretty much we meet all of our characters relatively early in the movie. And so you get to meet Phyllis, who's played by Minnie Driver, and Pascal and Gabriella, and that's the whole right on the corner across the street is Pascal's, and this is according to Primo just like, oh, he there's like no passion, it's just totally like they've sold out and they're just, you know, making slop for people, but as made a point by Segundo that, you know, that he's that they're doing well, that they're just the well, I think even the door, I don't know if you noticed, but Liev Schreiber is the doorman.
Yeah, I was like, what?
No lines really, he just we see him like saying hello to people and kissing
What a
them on the
career.
cheek.
He's like popped up in so many things.
Yeah, definitely. He'd be fun to like, just for the diversity of movies that you talk about, he'd be a fun person, like
Yeah,
we
but
did
you'd
for
have things like
Rodman.
this where we dealt with Hoffman, where you're like, good movie, but we can't really talk about him.
Yeah, actually, right after I watched Big Night, I watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one from 1990, and Sam Rockwell was in that, and that was
Oh, really?
another. Yeah, he's like, you know, the teenage gang leader,
Oh, wow.
and I'm just like, oh, he would be a fun person, but then, you know, like, there's just like a scene from that you would cover, but just always
Yeah,
thinking of
if I
other
ever do an
actors.
actor again, and they don't have like a portfolio, where it's like a Tom Cruise or a Tom Hanks, I might just do like their greatest hits or something, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like,
or we could even do what we're doing on our other show, P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, like put a poll out there. Like, who'd you just mention? Sam Rockwell. What Sam Rockwell movie do you want us to do next? You know, and do it that way rather than just chronologically, because for some of these actors, they had to pay their dues, for lack of a better, you know, expression of it.
Yeah, they might not want us talking about those movies.
And even though, you know, great movie, the acting's great, Big Night is definitely one of these things where you really gain such an appreciation for making something yourself and making it your own and just getting it done. And this is, ironically, Stanley Tucci plays Segundo, but this movie is such a primo movie, you know? It's an art piece. It's not like art, surrealist art, but you know what I mean? This is not a mainstream blockbuster film right here. This is something, it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. That's what I'm looking for.
Exactly, yeah. And it played at all the festivals. It was well received, like, you know, critically. I think it was up for the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance and it won a few awards. But it is a labor of love, and it is a labor of love, and it's about a labor of love.
And you see that so much, like grandmas teaching people, right, like to cook, like the nonas. If you don't put love into something, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to taste good. And you laugh, but it's definitely true with like a film, right? Like you could feel the love in this film. You could feel the passion of the project. And, you know, that's what makes it so awesome.
Yeah. And just, I mean, the passion of the characters is just, I was laughing a lot in the introduction scene with Minnie Driver, and just, you know, like, I mean, by all means, Tony Shalhoub and Stanley Tucci are doing a good job with their accents, but it, you know, it can be like comical, just the cadence and everything like that. And when he's explained to Minnie Driver that he's sad, and he's like, you know, he's just like, but we, and at that point we're just like, oh, okay, like we have an idea, and we're getting an idea what kind of person he is, but then it kind of takes a little bit of a left turn later in the movie. But we're seeing their relationship, and just like, he's not necessarily ready, and you know, for a serious commitment, but at the same time he does, at least they're making it at the time, that he does want to be with her, and he's sad because I guess she doesn't want to go all the way, perhaps, and maybe she's saving herself for marriage. I'm not exactly sure.
I think it was the opposite, no? That he was saving himself, right? Wasn't it like, or he was saying that, I think he was, I feel like
she said, we do other things.
Oh, I see. I was kind of confused, but it didn't matter. You know, obviously he's confused as well. He's having an affair with Isabella Rossellini's character.
Yes. Gabriella. Yeah.
Gabriella.
Who is Pascal's wife? Or,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like, definite, like, wife. Like, I wasn't, mm-hmm. I was, yeah, just like, that was something, you know, like you said, like, a lot of my memory was from the Big Night portion. And so everything that was happening before, I'm like, okay. And I'm like, but I, you know, wasn't sure if it was girlfriend or, you know, or wife, or even maybe she's his mistress in some kind of way. But it is interesting that the backdrop is just like this little town and just these two different Italian restaurants on the, you know, the same block.
Yeah. And how they're like friendly with each other, but not, there is a rivalry. We learn later in the film through the actions of like Pascal that he isn't as like sincere and trying to help him out as we all think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved it. It was so like, I mean, we say this a lot about good movies, you and I, when we do podcasts together, but it reminded me of a play, you know?
Yes, this would actually be adapted pretty well into a play, I think. It would be, you know, there's, you just, you know, I think that for certain movies, then you're like, oh, wait, but how would they do that scene? Like, this would play out pretty well.
Yeah, you could easily, like, take some scenes. Like, the scene on the beach, you could just put that in another room or something if it was going to, you know, ruin the set design or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, just the interaction with the characters, the fact that, again, they wanted to be there. I think you're right. Sometimes the accents were a little comical. I'm not sure how I feel about Ian Holm's, like, Italian accent, but it was still enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. When he's doing that whole, and who is that? Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
Louis Prima. Like, oh, Louis Prima. I know Louis Prima. And just, like, when he's just like, I love secrets. Like, it is, I mean, it's a realistic comical movie.
So Amazon, like, you know, they put, by the way, it's free on Prime if you have Prime.
Yes, that's how I watched it as well.
It describes it as comedy, drama, special interest.
Okay, thank you.
And that, but it makes sense in a sense, like, it's weird, but it's like, it's funny. But it's also very dramatic and very anxiety, you know, like, I don't know, a lot of angst in this film as well. But the special interest is obviously food. And oh my yes. God, seeing these dishes, I was getting so hungry.
Yeah, I did write down, like, in just like when scenes, I was like, finally, like, food shots, like when they started making the timpano. And have you ever had that dish before?
No, I was going to ask if you have. I got to track it down now. Seems very
old school,
traditional Italian, right?
I know. I feel like that must, I mean, just being in, obviously in New York, you know, in the city where you live, but just like in Jersey City, like there's a couple of old school spots. And like, I can't imagine it being something that's offered every night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's definitely like a special. And like, if you know about it and you see it on the special menu, oh, they made one tonight, you know?
Yeah. So, and it's very interesting to me. I would love to watch this with like a chef as well and just hear about like that whole, just if they've cooked it or what they imagine the process is, because they cook too. And they're like, oh, we're going to save one for Louis Prima. But just seeing like, them keeping the oven, they're worried about being dried out, and just like how much is in it, like as far as like serving that dish, and if you're going to be serving it all night at the restaurant, like what the process goes into that, making sure it's, you know, the same quality for every customer.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Would be my, that's a very, it looks like a nerve wracking dish.
Look good though. Quick Google search. It seems like you're right. A lot of people like, in Yelp reviews, they said, oh, and they cook this on Sundays, and it's great at a handful of restaurants that looks like, you know, downtown in the West Village and Little Italy. And I definitely have to try one in real life because, oh my God, it looked great. But everything looked great at this table, right?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier that was in his cookbook. I know he says crostini at one point. But
yeah, there's a soup.
There's a soup. Yeah, it begins, yeah, with the soup, and then there's a bunch of finger foods and stuff like that just out, and then people, and they're all worried because people are getting drunk, and Louis Prima isn't here yet, and then I just love the moment that Stanley Tucci goes in, and he's just like, let's eat. And just declares it, and then it's a great film for, you know, it takes a while to show the food, but once they start showing it, and just from the cooking to the serving to the eating to the like reactions of these people, they just did such a good job expressing just the level of joy that this food brings. And I love the way Tony Shalhoub, how Primo says to Anne, just like, to eat good food is to be close to God.
Yeah, oh, that part's great.
Yeah.
So, you and I have, when we do movies, I mean, I always do movies, but you do them sometimes, but we have a similar thing that happens, right? Like, I talk high school movies, and there are high school movies about, like, kids in high school, and there are movies that just happen to take place in and around a high school, you know? I'll do both. But on your side of the spectrum, you know those movies that even I've been on that, like, yeah, they're food movies and they have a lot of food, but this is truly a foodie film, you know, restaurant cooking, eating. Like, this is, if you had to say percentage of a film devoted to food and cooking and all that, this has to be up there, probably in the top 10 of most of anything you're going to cover.
I mean, definitely. And I think that's also, I mean, why it's well received in the food community, and people will always cite it, you know, as such, because, you know, like the amount of food that ends up being in it, and just that the intimacy of the story, and again, the labor, love, the passion, the creativity, just like, I think probably, I have to imagine a lot of chefs feel like primo, you know, that he's just, I mean, I think he says something along, you know, like at the end of the movie, like, if you want me to sacrifice my work, it dies, it's better for me to die. Like, he's just, you know, like, I mean, very passionate, and some mm-hmm. might say, like too over the top, but that's just how, that's how he feels, and that's how much he loves what he does, and he knows that he's good, and so does, I mean, just the interaction between Segundo and Pascal at the end, and he's like, you'll never get my brother. So, I mean, that's what ends up happening, is that, I mean, this big night is planned, it's gonna be this big party, it's not, they're not even asking for, you know, they're not charging anybody, it's not like, you know, like, just opening party of any kind, but they're just having this big party, and Louis Prima and his band are supposed to come because they're friends with Pascal, and then there's gonna be, you know, an article written up, there's a photographer, a journalist there, he's taking pictures, and what ends up happening is that Pascal just lied, and Gabriella makes that, you know, tells Primo that, and that whole move is because Pascal wants particularly Primo, and he'll take, you know, Stanley Tucci along as well, but he,
yeah, and I love early in the movie, he's like teasing more that he wants Segundo. You know, he yeah. doesn't care so much about Primo, you know, like, let him do his thing. But actually, it turns out to be the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they end up making, just like we were saying, this feast for these people.
Family style, too.
Family style as well, which is fantastic. Not great for the current climate, but fantastic. No.
One day we'll be able to do that again.
Yes. And well, that's actually something I didn't even think about. I mean, just there's so many ramifications that all come from what we're experiencing right now, but just even how people have to change their business model, you know, perhaps, you know, with just how,
yeah, maybe,
you know, specific as certain restaurants and how how people eat. But anyway, just even Gabriella saying to Prima at the end, like, thank you so much for what quite possibly will be, like, the best meal I'll ever have. Even though, yeah, you know, her husband destroyed his restaurant. And then just even Segundo saying to Pascal, like, was this over? He's like, no, this wasn't over. Like, and just like, who are you? I'm a businessman. Like, who are you?
Oh, my God. I wrote down that line, that I'm a businessman. I'm anything I need to be at any time.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many real moments in this movie that, again, I think really hit home with a lot of people, and that's why this movie is just so well received.
Yeah, and I want to touch on something you said, too. I don't think it's just chefs that relate to Primo. I think it's any, like, artist, really.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And I think that's what makes the movie so good. Like, I don't know, I was thinking of you, like, when you were, not to peel the curtain back so much, but when you were in reality TV, you know, I'm sure you were having a decent time, but maybe you didn't relate to it as much as some other things that you would like to do.
Yeah, just like seeing, I mean, you know, like whenever how you see the sausages made, but just, I mean, when it comes to entertainment industry as well, which is definitely always something I'm bouncing back and forth. I'm like, do I keep going? Do I, you know, do I try for certain things, or do I just enjoy movies, you know, films for like what they are once they're totally done, you know, because there's just so much with that, like catering to people's egos, and I just don't personally do well with that. So, like, you know, that one of my least favorite things is like when I'm like sober, hanging out with people that are having a good time, and just like seeing when people are just like, you know, they're having a good time, they're not being like they're mean, or like even not like even like, you know, when emotions start really coming out via libations, but just, you know, like the moments of like having to tolerate people when they're under the influence. I'm just like, I don't do well with that. So if you're doing that when you're stone cold sober and like, you know, being needy and that kind of stuff, yeah, that's just not my not my forte. I'm not meant for that.
You wouldn't have put up with someone not, you know, understanding your risotto?
No, but I'm a bit more, and that's maybe, maybe I'll never be a creative great, is because I would understand, like, I mean, who's he is it, again, I wrote it down, does Pascal say to Segundo, like, yeah, he says, give the people what they want, then give what you want.
And that's lessons that people say all the time in all fields, right? Like, play the game. Once you've played it well, you can play your own game. You know, I don't think it's bad advice. It just kind of stinks. Again,
in the film industry, there's plenty of people that, you know, it's like, you do one, then you get one. Then you do one, then you, like, that's just like the way, you know, studios will work too. And it's just kind of like an understood thing. So, yeah, there's just a lot of great moments. Like, just, what does he say? Bite your teeth into the ass of life. Like, you know, a little over the top.
A lot of butt biting in this.
A lot, yeah. I mean,
from him.
It is true. Yeah, maybe.
He bites a couple times.
He's an ass man, I guess. But yeah, when this meal is all said and done and everyone's just kind of like sitting around and they just look absolutely exhausted. It's like 3 a.m. The biggest laugh this movie got from me was just the one kind of like ancillary table character, this one woman just saying, my mother was such a terrible cook. Like, it's just, that's so good and such a perfect line to, again, just, they're very, it's just an incredibly well-written script, and it just perfectly explains to you, like, a lot of things in such, you know, via the dialogue, just their quick corrections that you also see one another making in the kitchen, or, you know, whether it's the garlic or the eggplant or just, you know, like what have you, with that whole, you know, realm of the movie. Just really understand everything to a T, and that line, just, my mother was such a terrible cook, is so good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, all those other little characters are great too. And, you know, they don't get too much of a moment to shine, but even like the Cadillac salesman and his moments.
Yeah, you just, even they do such a good job of showing that kind of salesman, like drawing him into the Cadillac and just like, oh no, let's go out, and then handing him a cigarette. And then just even later on with, you know, like then like taking Pascal out and him just like letting him just go as fast as he wants and everything like that. It's just, it does a really good, and just even the reporter saying like, I came here for a story of about Louis Prima, but I do plan, this was, you know, the best meal I've ever had. I do plan on eventually, you know, trying to get this something written up and published about you guys. So you know what? We actually haven't even played a clip yet. It's been a while since I've been doing so many of those first cut episodes. It's been a while since it talked a movie. Last one was Casablanca, so I'm excited. Let's play the Timpano clip for you. We talked about it a little bit, but let's watch it and we'll talk about it some more.
No, save this one for Louis Prima. Okay. Catch you later, man. Maybe 2 hours still.
No, we have to serve now. I mean,
okay. No, wait.
Cut the table.
Okay.
I worry it's going to be 2 hours going to 4 o'clock.
That's what I say. Is it 2 hours?
No. We don't have time for 2 hours. Let's go. Come on. Christian, open the door.
What is that?
It's Timpano. It's a secret recipe. I only heard about it. I never had it before.
Good.
This is so fucking good, I should kill you.
Paradise!
I love how, you know, just even earlier when he was explaining it to, I think, Minnie Driver and saying what Primo is saying to her, like, oh, why is it called that? And it's like, oh, it looks like a timpani. And just the bowl yeah. that it goes into.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
The little like pot drum roll of them perfectly pulling it off and putting it onto the plate, and just just the anxiety even there, because watching it, you know, this night means everything to them, and they actually had more, you know, like this is a rewatch for me, but I forgot even how much food they serve after this dish. You know,
yeah, right.
This is like the main course, but no, then that's when they go into like the fish. There's even, was that a suckling pig that I saw?
It's like, possible. I mean, there was so much on there. A true Italian feast.
A true Italian feast. And but I love just the little, like, the anxiety that they're having, and just, you know, he's about to cut into it and he's like, wait, but is it still too hot? Like, oh, we're gonna save this one for Louis Prima, and just like, no, let's do it out there for them, because it is just such a, you know, crazy dish. And then when they're rolling it, or when they're carrying it out there, and the one person like heard, like, yeah, I heard that this is like a secret, you know, like, rarely anyone gets to have this. This is, you know, a secret recipe.
Yeah, from their hometown.
Like, from their hometown, and just enjoying it so much, and then Pascal just being like, you know, like, I'm gonna kill you.
Oh my God. I was like, what?
It's like, oh shit, he's finally gonna like call out Segundo for you know, for hooking up with his you know, with Isabella Rossellini, Gabriella. And he's just like, this was so good, I wanna kill you.
I wanna do that so bad. Like, I'm gonna save that one in the chamber for when someone cooks, and just be like, you know, make a dramatic scene. Like, I'm gonna.
Yeah, he just on the desk, you know, just on the table there. But yeah, he's just the over the top. I mean, that's also something. It's not. This isn't like I'll go to another movie we've covered. It's not the same as My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where they're truly making people knowledgeable. No, I don't even want to say knowledgeable, but just like recognizing the over-the-topness of Greeks in that movie. You know, that really, I mean, just the fact that, you know, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, like, they're just really doing that for this. But this, they're definitely commenting on just, I think, at least the extreme passion that of Italians, maybe.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just the... Look, you're part Italian. I'm not Italian, but...
You grew up in North Jersey, yes. Brian. That makes you... You're part Italian.
Most of my friends are Italian in some way, right? Or are with Italians. I've been to the Olive Garden once, so I was family at one point. But the fight they have on the beach, the two brothers, is so Italian. I don't know how to describe it. Like, and it's not an insult. It's passion. Like you said, it's passion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, even in these dark times we're experiencing, you see those videos of, you know, people on their balconies and just playing music or talking to one another. It's just, it's a passionate land people come from. And, yeah. Yeah, that I have to find that for sure. I have to find a restaurant, you know, once this is all said and done, and get some timpano, because that looks crazy. Even once they slice into it, there's an egg in it.
I'm in favor of putting eggs in things.
It's just, you know what, and it's something I've definitely talked recently on the podcast, and just with, you know, people on the side. Like, I'm more and more, like, obviously it's all about, in the end of the day, it's the flavor, and then, you know, and then there's presentation, but just I'm enjoying more and more different textures. And so adding an egg to something is for sure like a change up in when you're like going through that thing where you have the crust, you know, very crusty crust, and then you have cheese in there. I think they were putting like some mozzarella in there, and then there was sausage, and it's just a very very crazy looking dish that I would love to try.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm getting so hungry.
So yeah, my mouth's watering.
I pulled out the Stanley Tucci cookbook while you were talking because, again, I was so just motivated. Couple things in here, but I just wanted to first, because I know we're going to talk about the ending scene, but before that, I wanted to mention that one of his recipes in here, and I'm reading from his second book, The Tucci Table, that he wrote with his...
What was the first book called?
The Tucci Cookbook.
Okay.
And his second book he wrote with his wife, Felicity Blunt, who's Emily Blunt's sister, FYI. So he probably has them over, too.
Oh, that's a fun tie-in to The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. So one of the recipes he has is called Tony Shalhoub's Stuffed Grape Leaves. So, and it's just a quick passage I'll read quickly. I've been lucky enough to have worked with and been friends with the incredibly talented Tony Shalhoub for the past 25 years. Although we only pretended to be brothers in Big Night, I still pretend he is my brother in real life. I first had these stuffed grape leaves when I visited Tony and he was preparing for an extended family feast. I thought they were extraordinary then and still do now. Tony says, "We always use fresh grape leaves when they are in season and available, but whether you're using fresh or jarred leaves, always remove the stems at the base of the leaf. I always prefer to use just ground lamb, some perfect ground beef, and a lot of people prefer a combination, so it's dealer's choice." I mean, I just love, like, A, that, but B, just, like, the relationship he's built and he's put into this cookbook. I'm not a salesman for this cookbook, but don't you love a story like that?
Yeah, that's fun. Like, I'm not always in favor of when you're just, like, reading an article. Like,
no, I hate when you look up a recipe and there's, like, this whole long thing. I'm like, just show me the recipe, goddammit.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, when you're getting... there's a fact that it's a cookbook. Like, that feels more appropriate in there. And it's just, yeah, some fun, like, if you're buying a cookbook by Stanley Tucci, you're most likely also then into Stanley Tucci. So it's fun to hear him, you know... reminisce about those experiences. And that's, I mean, he was in the first movie that we covered for this podcast, for Julie and Julia. He plays you know, Meryl Streep. That reminded me by mentioning Devil Wears Prada, because he has a relationship with Meryl Streep in that movie, but it's Julie and Julia, where he plays Julia Child's husband, and he's great in that. And so that must have been kind of fun getting back into like a foodie movie. So, but this is, I mean, Big Night, it's definitely up there in probably like in the top five of the food films. So I'm glad we're finally talking about it. But like you said, we're going to talk that last scene. I mean, or before that last scene, let's just kind of cover where everyone's at. Like, it's pretty much, it's a sure thing that these guys are not going to be able to continue on, right? Like, I mean, even when Sugino goes to the bank, there's, like, I think $67 left in the bank account or something like that. You know, he drives a crap car. We see only, you know, there's pretty minimal locations in this film. We see their apartment in one shot, and they share a room, and they're each in, you know, a twin bed, like, in the same room.
I wouldn't say it's a sure thing. It seems like it, yes, but I like to take the more optimistic approach. I like to think that they brought all these somewhat influential people of the town in there. They love the food, that maybe they're going to go there instead of going to Pascal's, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's a good point, I guess.
The newspaper guy, too. Like, maybe he's going to write a great review about it. So I'm not as pessimistic as you.
I would hope that as well. I'm just saying, I guess the film at that point was just kind of, I don't know, showing it that way, especially just the fact, I mean, hey, so he ends up cooking, you know, eggs for his brother and everything like that. But like you said, that fight that they're having on the beach, and that Primo is saying to go back to Rome because his uncle has a job for him, and he's like, and you too. But then, you know, but Segundo wants to, he's like, you go, I'm going to stay here. There's a couple of unsolved things I'm curious as to then what it, you know, because I really liked to seeing Primo once Allison Janney shows up, and just that passion, like saying, you know, that like when eating that and being connected to God, just like Primo opened up and he just seemed like even a better version of himself, a more, you know, he says to Segundo just like, this is fun, it's a party, go have fun.
Yeah,
like, he's taking the role of big brother, you know.
He was finally in his element because, you know, he was, I don't know, the food maybe, just...
The food, and yeah, he just needed that little shove of, I guess, confidence, or just, you know, he just didn't know how to ask Anne to join them at the party. But I really like seeing their relationship on camera, so I hope, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to work out for Segundo. I would assume for either woman, I don't know, I just don't imagine... you know, Gabrielle then like leaving Pascal or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out for Segundo. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I don't know what, you know, where Phyllis is going to end up, if she's going to move out west and find a cowboy or something like that. But yeah, I don't think it's going to work out romantically for Segundo. But yeah, no, I would hope for Primo, for Segundo, for then even was it Cristiano, that the restaurant ends up working out. And like you said, I mean, it doesn't have to be crazy packed every night, but in the beginning, that there's just that one couple and the one guy that pays with paintings, they definitely need more than that to continue on.
Yes.
But I love just that last scene, and how I forgot that was the last scene, and I love the legacy
of this film. Like, if you want to say, like, what is this film going to be most remembered for, when you talk to people who know it, it's this scene.
Yeah. Yeah, just the fact, I mean, it plays out in one shot.
It's just, yeah,
like, pretty much in the corner, maybe then it goes a little, then it kind of centers them towards the end. But
so,
just...
Yeah, it's a frittata. It's just... We've all had these nights, and we just kind of, you're decompressing, you know, and it's a shame you can't play it, but it would be no point in playing it. There's no dialogue in the scene. I mean, a little, you know, a little like whisper here or there. And I don't know, how long do you think it lasts?
3.5-4 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Cristiano is passed out on the, like, on the cutting board, on the chop block.
You read almost every review of this, every positive review at least, and they mention this scene. What a way to end a movie. So in the cookbook, he actually talks about this because he has a frittata recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled open the page, so I'll just read it quickly.
Sure.
The movie Big Night ends with my character, Segundo, cooking a frittata. As it was always my intention to shoot that scene in a master shot with no coverage, in parentheses, in a single continuous shot, making it impossible to edit, end parentheses, it was crucial that I learned to make the frittata properly. Luckily for me, Chef Gianna Scrappin, who I guess was a consultant on the film, was a great teacher. It is necessary that you have the right pan, by which I mean one that you feel comfortable with and with the best eggs you can lay your hands on. A great thing about the dish is that you can add whatever you'd like, sautéed potatoes, sautéed mushrooms, grilled scallions, leftover peas, etc. Just stir them into the egg mixture, and you'll have a rich but simple meal. And it's just so perfect for just the ending of the film, right? Like, you're seeing all this elaborate stuff. And I'm not saying it's super easy to make a frittata, especially in a single shot like that.
What did he put into it, though? I thought he just, like, kind of... put the eggs into the bowl and
he just made it really simple. I don't think there was much in there, but
they had the piece of bread. They pretty much put the, like, you know, it was like the bread on the egg,
but it's just such a juxtaposition to the art that they were making previously.
Oh yes, yes.
And it's just, again, like, the word I think of when I see that film is just decompressing.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's, I mean, and you hear it from chefs, you know, I mean, that's the morning after their, like, late party, and obviously it's so many emotions being thrown around, but just even, you know, chefs' regular day, there's so little options if they're hungry when they get out of work, and they're just having just simple food, whether it's a slice of pizza or fast food or just some Chinese takeout or something like that. And so, yeah, this is just, I mean, like you said, just a great scene just as far as that juxtaposition to the all those other, like, amazing dishes and just this simple frittata that he makes for himself. For and just even the fact that Segundo, like, Cristiano is about to come. He's like, no, 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 I'm going to do it. Like, yeah, it's just like, it's his thing at that moment. This is his, almost like his apology in some ways. And they're just him taking, you know, cause he isn't, you know, it's Primo's kitchen. And they're, sure, so good, you know.
Exactly. They're literally all breaking bread again and they don't have to say anything, you know?
Yeah.
And just to be clear, it also reminded me of, like, Chef. When, like, after one of the, Chef, the Jon Favreau film, not just a chef, when he makes the grilled cheese for Scarlett Johansson, like, it's just grilled cheese, right? But,
well, the grilled cheese is for his son, the pasta's for Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the pasta's for, the pasta's for Scarlett Johansson.
For ScarJo, yeah.
Same principle, though, you know, like, even a chef who's making something simple, and I know, again, Segundo's not the chef, but he still loves food. That when you're going to make the simplest thing, you're not half-assing it, you know? And you watch this.
Oh, yeah,
scene.
He's checking the flame in that. Like, he puts
exactly,
it on
high. Exactly, checking the flame. He's looking at the pan so clearly. And it's so simple, but it's so beautiful. Like, that's a beautiful scene.
Yeah, and I love there's just this, like, I'm sure anyone that, like, you know, works in the kitchen really, like, catches this, but just watching it for this purpose is... these purposes. I love that he is, you know, like you said, like, literally breaking bread, and then he hands it to Cristiano, and then, but when his brother comes into the kitchen, he takes the loaf and he puts it in a basket. It's just a little moment that I'm like, huh, like, I wonder what exactly, like, that is. It's like, if that was just a bit more of, like, respect, or just like, I'm keeping the kitchen, like, it's just a little moment that I'm curious about. But you know, because the scene has such little dialogue. I think the only dialogue is when he says to Cristiano, like, no, I got this.
Yeah. And the dialogue really is just, like, these nuances of, like, what's going on. And, yeah, I mean, does it answer all our questions? No, and I love it because that's just, like, life, you know?
Yeah. It is great, you know, so there are those unanswered questions of certain people's relationships and, you know, will the restaurant survive? Will one brother stay, one brother leave? Will they're, you know, I'm pretty sure, I'm definitely optimistic in their relationship. Like, it's not like they're clearly, like, you know, they're already sitting next to one another and sharing a meal. So it's not like they're not going to talk to one another again. But it is one of those endings, one of those great endings that just leaves it open for interpretation and allows us to have kind of these conversations about it.
Yeah. What a good movie.
Yeah, I was hungry right afterwards, and I made a simple pasta dish. I just chopped up some bunch of peppers and onions and garlic, and then I put that in a pan and put some some olive oil and balsamic vinegar, and then I just took that and spaghetti, and I just put that together, and it was really good. So, yeah. I need to get better with my plating of pasta. I need one of those good pasta forks that he uses in Chef. That's my. I have a gift card from Christmas to Sur La Table, so that maybe that'll be my purchase.
A proper gotcha. Pasta I mean, fork. That's a. That's a good purchase. It's, you know, like, presentation is so weird. Plating is so weird. Not weird, but you almost, like, at least for me, like, when I cook something, it's just like, I want to eat it, you know?
Yeah. I guess the ultimate, I mean, in a non-restaurant sense, like, when you're just home, I guess it's just, like, that next level of, like, ooh, I've put so much thought into cooking this. Let me take a moment. And I agree, because I'm going to dig in right away. But let me just take that little extra step to make it look good on a plate too, in a total non, you know, Instagramming way.
Yeah, I was going to say, feed the phone.
Feed the phone, exactly. But big night. I was so happy to revisit this and obviously talk about it with you. I, like you said, it's on Amazon Prime. So, hey, guys, we have a lot of time on our hands these days. So check out Big Night.
To be clear, we have a lot of time on our hands. But the people out there, like, working in the hospitals and stuff like
I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I'm not blaming you. But I keep hearing that around and I'm like, well, you know.
No, there's a lot of people putting in some long hours and obviously and taking, you know, working those jobs that are for our benefit, so hopefully this will end sooner than later. So also then watch, if you are home and you have the time, watch this, and then also make maybe if you know someone that has one of those jobs, make a meal for them, you know?
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Show your appreciation for them. Well, usually, the next step is a famous food scene. And in the past, I've, just had people randomly pick it out of the hat. But there's just so many movies that we enjoy together that I said to you beforehand, Brian, like, what's a movie that we love that has a great food scene that we can discuss? And you brought up, and there is a bunch, but you brought up The Birdcage. And so from Big Night to The Birdcage, and we kind of hinted at it earlier with the mention of Hank Azaria, this is the scene, because it's a similar movie, right? It ends up, it's all about this meal, right? I wasn't thinking about that before, but it's kind of a similar plot in a way.
Yeah, I would just
say... Or in the course of, you know...
Yes, but it's more about the event rather than the food. So I wouldn't call it a food film.
No, it's not a food film, but it is a food. But just that the dinner is.
Yeah, you know, structure wise, it is actually pretty
structure similar. Wise leading to that dinner, and in Big Night, that dinner is to lead to them to hopefully continuing their restaurant. This dinner is to get the families to get along and for a wedding to happen. So, without further ado, let's play this scene that has pretty great actors, pretty great cast in this movie too.
Hurry up, you idiot. You're sitting out there right now looking at the bowls. What kind of moron sets the table without looking at the bowls? Oh, that's it. All right, just stop ladling. Give me the bowl back. Why? Just do it.
Why'd you get out of the way? Out of that? And wait, there's shrimp.
See what these Greeks are doing.
Ah, here we go. Some of Agador's superb soup. And we're in luck because he doesn't make this for everybody. This is his specialty, seafood chowder.
Oh, isn't that an egg?
What?
An egg.
Why, yes, it is. It is a huevo. This is so Guatemala. They put hard-boiled eggs in everything down there because, you know, chicken is so important to them. It's their only real currency. A woman is said to be worth her weight in hens, and a man's wealth is measured by the size of his cock. Will you excuse me?
Hell, are you serving us?
Sweet and sour peasant soup? What'd you say is seafood chowder for?
The hell is sweet and sour peasant soup?
I don't know. I made it up.
Oh, God. This is a nightmare.
So we've got Robin Williams, Gene Hackman, Hank Azaria.
Diane Wiest.
Oh, my God. Diane Wiest. And then Dan Futterman, Clarissa Flockhart.
Hoffman connection.
Yeah, Hoffman connection for you right there.
Both, I guess, Diane Wiest and...
Diane Wiest, we just recently
Futterman.
Covered her in Synecdoche, New York, and Dan Futterman back for the Capote, right?
And, I mean, look, this movie probably doesn't
And Nathan
well.
Lane, oh my God.
Yeah, Nathan Lane, Nathan how could we forget?
Jesus, boy.
I was going to say, this movie probably doesn't age well. I still love it. I think it was when we had Wit on P.S. I Love Hoffman. He talked about loving this film and how maybe it's not, you know, the most PC today. But it's still a very funny film. It makes fun of everyone. It doesn't, like, just poke fun at one subculture or another.
Because I think it's progressive in some ways. And then
I think
also,
it's very progressive.
Yeah.
So, but still, just the soup. And the fact that, you know, like that was the meal he prepared. This also has an egg in it, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was when bringing that up before about the timpano. I'm like, yeah, like, boy, both things are going to, we're talking about both.
Have, he's like, why do you say seafood chowder? Like,
why you say, yeah, it's a sweet and sour peasant soup.
Yeah.
Why did you call it? I don't know. He's like, but just even beforehand, just like, wait, the shrimps. So yeah, it's like, there the was going to be shrimp in it.
Why he thought, like, it was a seafood chowder. Like,
yeah. And just like, is this an egg in it? No, it's a huevo. Just like the way Robin Williams is just explaining this meal and just needing to get this soup out before they discover the Greek bowls. And
yeah, they're erotic plates.
The erotic plates. Oh, this movie. I mean, there's a couple of good food scenes in this movie. I don't know if we'll, you know, we can, I mean, might as well. When Robin Williams is trying to get Nathan Lane on board and getting to him to be a bit more, I don't know, heteronormative? What do we want to call it?
No, the premise of the film is that, I mean, they're so young, but his son, Robin Williams' son, Robin Williams is gay. Nathan Lane is his partner. But Robin Williams' son brings back a girl and invites their family over for dinner. I mean, again, I'm making a very short version. And the family...
The conservative.
The dad happens to be like one of the most conservative senators in the Senate. So they kind of got to pretend that they're like... Especially, look, this is the 90s, right? This isn't like today, but they got to pretend they're a super quote-unquote normal American family. So, you know, long story short.
In South Beach, Miami at a time that was
and they very and they colorful. Own a they own a drag club downstairs.
Yes. which kind of just popped up all around them, which was a quaint beach town. Yeah, and so just that, and that's, I mean.
So you were talking, yeah, so he, you know, at one point Robin Williams is asking for Nathan Lane's character, his partner, to just pretend that he's like an uncle, and he's like, oh, you got to play it straight. So, yes. You
know, John Wayne, and they do the whole John Wayne walk and everything like that, and then the spreading on the, you got to schmear.
Yeah, because Nathan Lane's character is just like dotting things on the tips, like, no, men schmear.
It's just so good. Like, both of them play, I mean, their characters just so well. Like, I love Nathan Lane. One of the biggest laughs any movie has ever given me is when Nathan Lane is trying to leave when Robin Williams goes to talk to, you know, his kid's mom, and Nathan Lane is trying to leave and trying to start the car, and the way he screams when the car horn goes off, it gets me every time, and it's, my laugh is just as loud as Nathan Lane screaming in that scene, and it's just, I love this movie. It's definitely, I mean, so good. And just that, yeah, that whole, like you said, like, they're invited over for dinner, and this is what you know, Agador Spartacus is making for them. In his Guatemalan-ness.
And, look, I never heard anyone say this, but potentially people could think that, like, once again, Hank Azaria is playing a different ethnicity that he shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm not Guatemalan, but I'm Latino, and I'm totally okay with it. Like, maybe other people aren't, and if they're offended, I'm sorry, but I think it's awesome, and I think it's hilarious. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We're not going to get into the politics and the of it all, but, like, I mean, it's acting. Let people act sometimes. I don't know. Like, that's just...
And it's a comedy too.
And it's a comedy, and it's like, again, for like, and you look at it, and for the time, we're not even talking, we're not getting into the craziness that of, you know, like Blazing Saddles, that comedy, and like, you know, you know maybe like, you know, you wouldn't be able to make that these days or something like that. It's I think it's still a kind of progressive movie, but there, maybe there's some problematic scenes, but I mean, I don't know how many movies don't have that. And then also then it's just, it's good that they did, because that shows progress, right? That's just
Trying to.
Yeah, but, well, yeah. Well, Last but not least, this is the first time this is happening, so I feel like you've experienced a lot of firsts. We even named, you know, Gut Instincts on your Coming to America episode. And guys, please go back and check out all the episodes that Brian has been on. It's been a little while but we did two back to back. We did the Friendsgivings. You were on for My Dinner with Andre with John Harden. We did My Dinner with Hervé, and we did Coming to America. That was the first one. And curious when that sequel will be coming out, if that's going to be delayed in any kind of way.
Yeah, but who knows?
Who knows? But I didn't want to just end it. I wanted to, last time it was who would be your dream dinner guest. This time I want to ask you if you were, because this is in, I think, in the food world, and as a man that still works, you know, some days at a deli, but I worked at a deli for a long time, as most of you know. This is just a high honor in itself. So if there was going to be a sandwich named after you, and you had say, because most of the times there's not, maybe the place is making the decision for you, but if you had say in what kind of sandwich would be named after you, what would be the elements, what kind of bread, what's going into this sandwich?
Oh, I thought I had to name the sandwich.
No, what is...
I was going to say the instigator.
Okay, well, that's... I like that. Okay, so that's the name, the instigator, but...
Okay, what would be in this sandwich? And it can't be like an existing sandwich, so... It has to...
Well, you know, it can be like a kind of a, you know, you get... obviously a meat and a cheese, we know, but then there's a specific, you know, condiment on it and on specific bread, you know, like that's, it doesn't have to be a breaking, you know, new age sandwich.
I mean, I had, like I said, I'm Dominican American and I had a Dominican breakfast, but I don't know if I'm like the best example of what a Dominican should be, because I don't cook Dominican food every night or something, but I would like a sandwich with like this, like Dominican style salami, maybe like the plátano maduro, you know, like just like kind of putting all those foods in a sandwich. And I don't, there are some Dominican breads, but let's cheat. Let's move over an island. Let's use that like Cuban sandwich, like Cuban bread, you know, that like really bad white buttery bread for you.
Yeah, just that you see in Chef, them just talk about a schmear yeah. of butter.
No, exactly. Like that's the bread I want, but I want like some typical Dominican foods in there, but I want the sweet plantains. You know, you and I have both been to this place by my apartment, Cachapas y Mas, which is like a Venezuelan,
right?
Place, yeah. But it still has, you know, similar food, but like you could get stuff where the bread, if you will, is either like a tostones, so like a regular plantain or a sweet plantain. I might do that as well.
Yeah, that's so good there. They have the chopped up like steak like into like little strips and whatever. I think they put just like, I think it's like a ketchup mayo combo. So good.
Oof, now so many are coming into my head of like what I could do.
My mouth is watering again. But I like that. So we got a good like, yeah. Well, you said you're Dominican American, so then maybe I'm just like trying to find some obnoxious American thing to add to it.
French
like
fries.
French fries, or like I was gonna say some crushed up potato chips or something.
Yeah,
like
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Doritos or something.
Not Doritos. Not Doritos. But you know what's good? Have you had this, like, I don't know, I always assume it's Cuban because I've gotten it at Cuban places, but like that Cuban style steak in the same bread, but with the, I think they're called potato sticks.
Oh.
They're like, kind of like chips, but little like but sticks like, of potato. I can't,
like,
you know,
French fry potato chips.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like shoestring fry chips. In a way, right? Kind of. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's it. No, I mean, but these are flat. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to find like what this sandwich is called or what it's called. It's like potato sticks, as we're saying, but like they're flat. I think they were like a more common snack in the 80s than they are today.
I'm sure I'll recognize them once I see a picture of the, you know, they were in a bag.
I've seen them in a canister as well.
Ooh, like a Pringles canister?
No, more like a cheese balls canister.
Okay.
That's getting old school. Okay, I guess they just call it Cuban steak sandwich. Or pan con bistec. That, like, you'll see at a lot of Cuban restaurants. I suggest you order it, because even some by you have had it. I'm going to send you a picture now of, like, what it looks like in the Discord.
Yes. Again, you can cut this out. Oh, yes, by the way, you guys were practicing, you know, social safety by, you know, distancing by recording over the internet. So
yes. So I put a link there if you want to see what it looks like.
Oh, okay, on Discord. Let me see. Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, those, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. But like, there's some that are thicker that they sell, and I'm not talking about, these are like thinner, you know, these, yeah, like, but that that's a good sandwich too.
That is a good, yeah. And again, that's the, like, you know what I'm talking, like, that's texture for you right there.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You got the steak, you got the bread, you got the lettuce, you got tomato, you got the absolute crunch of those potato stick chips things. That's that's good.
Cuban food's amazing.
Cuban food is amazing. They were, we've said this before. It's they're almost like the Italians of the, you know, the Caribbean.
Yeah, I mean, good cuisine, family times.
Passionate. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on. And this is obviously, I mean, it's good to just be talking. I know we're going to talk anyway because we're friends, but this is the first episode that I'm recording like during quarantining. So this has been a delight and a nice breath of fresh air during these times.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate it. It was fun to see a movie about going out to eat. We can't go out to eat right now, but it was good. I liked it. I mean, this is a great movie. I'll recommend it to anyone. If you're listening to this show, you're going to like this movie. You know, like,
yes,
if you're
this
foodie
is definitely
films.
One of the bigger reasons for a show like this to exist. Yeah, this is truly a foodie film. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, you could check out our other show. Sorry for doing plugs, but you can check out our other show, P.S. I Love Hoffman, wherever you get your podcasts. We're cranking out some good stuff for that soon. You want to stay tuned to it. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And, of course, my other show, High School Slumber Party, where we talk high school films, and that's still going strong as well. Just
You're about to celebrate the 100th episode, correct?
Yeah, in a couple days after this release. So that's fun. We all went out to a brewery, so foodie-related there, and we had a good time.
Brewery.
It was before coronavirus scare, so don't worry. We were still – social distancing wasn't even, like, a thing when we went there. And that
That's
was like
correct.
A couple
yes.
weeks ago. So, yeah, and again, always appreciate being on this show, and can't wait till I'm on again.
Well, if you don't mind saying the catchphrase for everybody, I would be absolutely delighted.
Manja, manja. No. There's more to cut.
Ooh, you nailed it. There you go. All right, guys, manja.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving. Love you, such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just what I'm gonna do. Ooh, love to hold ya, ooh, love to kiss ya, ooh, love, I love it so. Ooh, love, you're sweet.